first section, we would like to study the book of Acts. But before we go into the book of Acts, let's briefly go through the book of John. If we're looking to the teaching material, there is an outline. And yesterday we talked about incarnation of the Son of God, especially the divine nature of Jesus Christ. All the three other Gospels, especially Matthew and Luke, talk about genealogy of Jesus, which trace back Jesus in a human side. And in the book of John, it traces back Jesus Christ to the spiritual side, the godly soul or region. And he was the Word, and he was God. And then, start from chapter 1, verse 19. Chapter 4, the presentation of Son of God. And Jesus Christ was accepted. Let's go through the chapter 1 from Mark 19. John the Baptist presented Jesus Christ. And there are many different kinds of terminology being used to describe Jesus Christ. And after John the Baptist presented Jesus Christ, and then you can see the 41 and 42, some of the people start to follow Jesus, and especially the 12 disciples, they were called. And then later on, the Nathanael, and he believed in Jesus. And then chapter 2, chapter 1, 35 to 51, John the Baptist, the disciple, followed Jesus. And chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, in the wedding of Cana, Jesus Christ multiplied and changed the water into the wine. So he presented himself as a person who was able to resolve the difficulty with miraculous power. So after he did that, many believed in him. Verse 11. And then from chapter 2, verse 12 to 25, in the temple of Jerusalem. And he cleaned the temple, and then he started to mention about the temple will be torn down, and he will raise it up for 3 days. And verse 22, after he resurrected from death, and they believe in him. And then verse 23, he performed a lot of miracles, so a lot of people believe in him. So this is a presentation of Jesus Christ himself to the public. And chapter 3 is talking about Nicodemus, who came to see Jesus at night. And after he talked with Jesus Christ, he believed in him, and he was a disciple in secret. So he accepted Jesus Christ. And after Jesus' crucifixion, Nicodemus opened him to become the disciple. And chapter 3, verse 22, it talks about the baptism of Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist is a very famous word, he will increase, I will decrease. So many of the disciples of John the Baptist follow Jesus Christ. So until here, everyone accepts Jesus. And chapter 4, Samaritan woman, Jesus talked with her, and she was convinced Jesus was a Messiah, and she went into the city and proclaimed the message of Jesus, and a lot of people came to Jesus and was convinced she was the one prophesied in the Old Testament. So because a Samaritan woman and a lot of people accept Jesus Christ. And chapter 4, verse 43-54, and Jesus Christ performed another miracle. He healed the son of a officer in Capernaum, and a lot of people believe in him. So start from chapter 1 to chapter 4. Jesus presented himself and a lot of people believed in him. And that was the beginning of the ministry. And start from chapter 5 to chapter 12. And you can start to see the opposition or the rejection of Jesus Christ. And chapter 5 start from the feast in Jerusalem. From verse 1 to verse 47, Jesus Christ healed a person who was paralyzed for 38 years. Then the Pharisees started to blame Jesus to perform miracles on the Sabbath day. So they reject Jesus. So start from chapter 5, you can see people start to oppose Jesus for rejecting. And Jesus Christ mentioned the reason they reject him because they judge a person by outer appearance. And chapter 6, we know chapter 6 very well, Jesus Christ multiplied bread to feed 5,000. Initially, they were very fervent and looking for Jesus everywhere. Follow Jesus, regardless of where Jesus goes. But when Jesus start to talk about, you have to eat my flesh, drink my blood, and one by one left him, reject him because the teaching is too hard. So chapter 6, eventually, you can see only 12 disciples follow Jesus. Why did they reject him? Because the teaching is too hard. And then chapter 7, the Feast of Tabernacle in Jerusalem. Even his brother don't believe in him because his brother want him to go to Jerusalem to gain some fame, because Jesus was able to perform the miracle. But that's because he did not believe in Jesus. And in chapter 7 onwards, you can see the Pharisees send a servant to arrest Jesus, apprehend Jesus. And then you can see the servant just go back empty-handed. So verse 45, the priest and Pharisee asked him, why don't you bring him here? The servant was convinced nobody had ever talked like he did. But the Pharisees and the priest opposition becomes stronger and stronger. And chapter 8, Jesus healed a chapter 9. Chapter 8, yes. Jesus started to introduce himself. But after Jesus talked about himself, 48, the people in Judah say, you are the Samaritan, and all this by me, is that not right? So they reject Jesus Christ. chapter 9, Jesus healed a sick person, a blind person. And after the miracle happened, the opposition arose. Even the blind who regained the sight testified for Jesus, and his parents were not to bear testimony for Jesus, so they reject Jesus. So all the way, and you can see in chapter 10, verse 22 to 42. This is the dedication, the feast of dedication in Jerusalem. And especially verse 33, the Jews tried to stone Jesus because Jesus Christ said, I and Father are one. Verse 30. They were unable to understand, so they want to stone Jesus. And chapter 11, from verse 1 to chapter 12, verse 11, Jesus raised up the Lazarus. But in the same time, in chapter 11, verse 47, the Pharisees tried to kill Jesus. Why? Because verse 48, if we just let the person continue to perform the miracle, everybody is going to believe in him, and the woman is going to come and attack us. So they try to plot to kill Jesus. And chapter 12, verse 12 to 15, now Jesus went into Jerusalem, and he talked about himself like a seed fall into the ground. When the seed dies, they multiply the fruit. So chapter 12, verse 12 to 15, went into the Jerusalem. And then verse 42, some of them believe, but because of Pharisees, they did not want to recognize Jesus. They were afraid to be cast out, driven out from the synagogue. So Jesus was to chapter 2 almost been totally rejected. And chapter 13 onwards is an instruction of Jesus Christ. 13:1-20 is the washing and concerning the forgiveness and service. And chapter 13, verse 31-38, he talk about his betrayal and his departure. Chapter 14, he talk about heaven. So from chapter 13 to chapter 16, Jesus Christ talk about forgiveness, his betrayal, his departure, talk about heaven, talk about Holy Spirit, talk about peace, talk about fruitfulness, about the world, and talk about Holy Spirit and his return. Chapter 16. So this is the instruction of the Son of God. And then after instruction finish, 17 is intercession of Jesus Christ before he was arrested. And last night I mentioned the intercession focused on sanctification and unity and glory. And that intercession today is very true and very real for the church. The biggest challenge for the church nowadays is sanctification. We have to not to become worldly, be conformed by the world. We should be transformed, and then that is sanctification. Then unity. As the church growing, more and more people, it's more and more difficult to be unified. So that was the prayer of Jesus Christ. And talk about glory. We glorify God where we are all in this life, and we will be glorified in heaven. And after the intercession and the crucifixion, chapter 18 to 19, and chapter 20 is the resurrection, empty tomb, and he appeared as a risen Lord. And 21, his appearance by the lake, and conclusion of the gospel in the middle part of John 21, and was a commission to Peter to take care of his sheep. So this is the book of John. And all the four gospels concluded in Jesus' resurrection or Jesus' ascension. So from Jesus was, Jesus started his ministry until Jesus resurrected from death. It's about 3.5 years. 3.5 years is not long. But that 3.5 years, he has done a lot of work. Especially the last week, is the most tragic and it's the most touching week of Jesus Christ. It's a climax of Jesus' servitude. It's a climax of Jesus' expression, his divine nature, his love to the people in the world. So Jesus Christ, according to the book of John, he was a very, very special figure. Let's look into one verse before we go into the book of Acts. John chapter 12. Verse 32. If I have been risen up, I will attract all nations to me. This is a prediction of Jesus Christ. He had nothing. He didn't have outer appearance, he didn't have money, he didn't have family background, he didn't have what? Education, he didn't have an army, he had nothing. But he predicted, when I am being raised up, I will attract all nations to me. Now, how can this possible? When a person died, the influence gradually declined very fast. Years ago in the UK, there's a woman died, right? So many people born. But nowadays we pay attention to that. We've forgotten already. No. But when Jesus was crucified, he has about 70 disciples. But after the crucifixion of Jesus, 40 days later, Holy Spirit descended. And then Peter preached, and he had 5,000 disciples. From 72, within 50 days, increased to 5,000. It's a miracle. 3,000 and 5,000. And within few years, so many people believe in Jesus, not only Jerusalem, right? Judea, Samaria, even to Rome. So, after Jesus was dead, the prophecy was fulfilled. How come Jesus' influence become greater and greater after his death? There's only one conclusion, because he is God. Other than that, there's no explanation. And crucifixion is an expression of the death of God, of God's love. So verse 33, Jesus said this because is going to die. How it indicate how he was going to die, means crucifixion. So crucifixion is so powerful, touched so many people's heart, attracted so many people to follow him. God's love is so powerful. So this is a very important verse in chapter 12. And chapter 16, Let's talk about the key to understand the words of God. I have many things to tell you, but you cannot understand. Verse 13, when the spirit of truth comes, he will guide you to understand. So to understand the truth, the key is Holy Spirit. So sometimes in the church, we emphasize more in prayer. And you can see, during the time of servitude, the spirit of servitude is very good. Because once the Holy Spirit moves around, the members can understand the words of God very clearly, can be touched by the words of God, and you can see the spirit of listening to the sermon very good. But if you go to a church, they don't emphasize it in prayer, you can see even in the first section of the Sabbath service, everybody very sleepy. Why? Because the heart is not opened. So when they listen to the sermon, they have no feeling, or they cannot totally understand it. So they feel bored, so that's the reason they feel sleepy. So the key to understand the Bible is the Holy Spirit. But a lot of truth seekers come to our church, originally they feel all the church is the same. But one day, the person receives Holy Spirit. Oh, in that right moment, we know the church is different. Why? Because the person is able to understand the words of God. So even the church member is the same. Before you receive Holy Spirit, we read the Bible, and after time you hear the Bible is so boring. But after we receive the Holy Spirit, you read the Bible, you feel it's different. And out of inspiration. Why? Because the Holy Spirit guides us to understand the words of God. So this is the book of John. Now we're going to the book of Acts. What does the book of Acts talking about in one verse? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And chapter 8 can be understood in two parts. The first part is you shall receive the Holy Spirit, the power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. What that means, we have to equip ourselves spiritually. Power of God, not only the words of God. And the later part, you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, Matthew, and to the end of the world. This is called about servitude. Before we start the servitude, we have to equip ourselves spiritually with the power of God so that our servitude can be effective. This is the first way to interpret verse 8. And the second way to interpret verse 8. Verse 8 is the description of the whole book of Acts. Chapter 2 is talk about Holy Spirit came down and they received power. And then start from chapter 2 onwards, Peter started to preach. And first in Jerusalem, 3,000, 5,000 believe. And then later on chapter 6, they chose 7 people to take care of distributing food. And Philip started to preach the gospel in Judea. And then later on, the ministry expanded to Samaria. And Acts chapter 28, Paul was in Rome to share the gospel with the people there. So chapter 8 is the key verse. He's talking about the theme of the book of Acts. Who are the two important figures in the book of Acts? Paul and Peter. And Peter's ministry from chapter 1 to chapter 12. And then Paul's ministry starts from chapter 13 to chapter 28. So you can see, we can divide the book of Acts by person. 1 to 12, Peter. 13 to 28, Paul. And from here we can understand the ministry spread from Jerusalem to the end of the world. God used two types of person. The first type is Peter. The second type is Paul. And Peter was grown up in a Jewish family, right? So he was a disciple of the Jews. And Paul, do you know Paul's background? His father was a Greek. His mother was a Jew. And so he was educated in the Greek culture. He was able to speak not only the Hebrew, but also speak Greek language. He was well versed about the Greek culture. So God used him to preach the gospel outside. So these two types of workers put together to accomplish God's commission to spread the gospel from Jerusalem to the end of the world. The same thing today, we look into our TJC. Right now we have 25 churches and house of prayer. And Holy Walk started from 1930s until now. You can see the first part of the ministry in the United States has come from the generation of immigrants. They don't know English too well, they can speak too well, right? But right now we have this kind of development. More and more church requested to have English-only sermon. Because more and more truth seekers, they only listen English. And if the church want to take root in this society, we need to preach English. Then who is going to do it? That's your generation. So if two generations work, can combine together, then the church can fulfill the commission of Jesus Christ. So these two generations cannot compare each other. The earlier generation is not important, they don't know how to speak English. Do you know the foundation was laid by them? Of course, through the God's power. But based on that foundation, now the younger generation, those who born here, or you came here very young, now it's your responsibility to build the church, to glorify the name of God. So, from the book of Acts, you can see the continuation of holy work from Peter and then to Paul. It applies to us nowadays. And the book of Acts is also the book, Acts of Holy Spirit. So the book of Acts is to reflect how the Holy Spirit descend, how the Holy Spirit guide, how the Holy Spirit work in the apostolic church. So Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, but he sent down his spirit working mightily in the church. And today the same. Jesus Christ is in heaven, but church is the body of Christ. So Jesus Christ is going to use the Holy Spirit work mightily in the church. So because of this reason, you look into the whole book of the Acts, there's one sentence from the beginning. They all filled by the Holy Spirit. They all filled by the Holy Spirit. So today the same, if we want to develop the true Jesus Church, what is the blueprint? Of course, you can set the Bible aside and start to think about the blueprint. If we put the Bible aside and we start to think about how to build a church, and most possibly our concept will come from the world. Our concept probably will come from how do we run a company? How do we run a school? How do we run an organization? Come from there. So it's so important we have to understand the book of Acts. This is a blueprint. Do you know, in the United States, right now, we have about at least three churches built by ourselves. One is Irvine, another one is Hillsboro, another one is Dallas. Right? And before they build a chapel, what should they do? They use an architect to draw the blueprint. The first is the floor plan. And then the second is the picture of elevation and the prospective picture. Right? After you like it, then you start to build it. And how should we build our church? The book of Acts is the blueprint. You just follow it and you will be able to build a very powerful and church to glorify God. So that is the reason why we need to have this kind of training, because you, one day, you will become the pillar of the church. You will become a church council member. You will become a full-time minister. You will become an ordained minister. You will become the council member. And the church will be under your guidance. Of course, guidance of God, but guidance of God through you. You are the instrument. So at that right moment, it's so important we make every decision, we make every plan based on our understanding of the Bible, based on our understanding of the book of Acts. So if we look into the book of Acts, there's one sentence, they're all filled by the Holy Spirit, start from chapter 2. It's so important. If the church pray and pray and pray until everybody been filled by the Holy Spirit, then what happens? God is fully in the presence of the church. God will be fully guiding the church. When God's power is fully in the church, you are going to see mighty miracle happen. Why? Because God's power is here. Why? Because God is here. Why? Because everybody filled by the Holy Spirit. So prayer should be the first key to revive a church. When you go back, if you see your church prayer very weak, why not do something for it? Start from you to initiate a spiritual prayer. When the church prayer become very fervent, everybody filled by the Holy Spirit, you can feel the presence of God. You can feel the power of God. You can feel the peace of God. You can feel the joy of God in that church. So instead of a lot of planning without prayer, why not? Put the planning aside. We pray first. When we pray until everybody filled by the Holy Spirit, then we start to plan. And Holy Spirit will guide us to plan a plan which is feasible to every local churches. So when I see a lot of churches, they emphasize a lot of prayer, we really feel very comforted because they know how to guide the church in the right direction. But when we see a church, nobody wants to pray. Everybody wants to give opinion. Everybody wants to criticize. Nobody wants to pray. We really feel very sad. Why? Because they love God, but they don't know how to really love God in a godly way. Why? Because they don't know the Bible. So, the book of Acts starts from Holy Spirit. And they are filled by the Holy Spirit. In the beginning of Acts, there's another sentence appear many times. They were all one mind, one accord. Do you know? Two persons get married nowadays is a gamble. Why? You go to Las Vegas, it's a gamble. Why? Don't look at that wedding picture. Oh, and they call each other honey or this and that. You will not be honey too long. After a few years, the picture just split to two. This part belongs to you, this part belongs to me. Why? They cannot come to one mind or one accord. Everybody has a very strong opinion, very strong personality. So the marriage cannot last long. Even two persons cannot come one mind, one accord. If they have three, four children, it's more difficult. Everybody have their own idea. But you look in the book of Acts, three 3,000 people, one mind, one accord. That itself already a miracle. How come 3,000, one mind, one accord? Last time we talked about John chapter 17, the Jesus Christ prayer, right? When Jesus Christ in us, then we will be one mind, one accord. And the church will be able to grow because one mind, one accord. If the church cannot be one mind, one accord, God will not be there. And if the church cannot be one mind, one accord, then indication Jesus Christ was not there. If Jesus Christ is there, there will be one mind, one accord. So, what will affect church unity? The first is truth. If we have different interpretation of truth, especially related to our common belief, that definitely will cause division. Just like Acts chapter 15, right? There is a different interpretation of circumcision. Some say, you have to do this. If you don't do this, you cannot be saved. Some say, no, this is a burden, Mosaic burden. We don't have to carry that. Then the church is going to spread. Then what happened? They convened a meeting, Jerusalem meeting. After that, debate, discuss for a long time. What happened? They come to one conclusion. And they say, this is Holy Spirit and us who make decision. But the Gentiles don't need to get circumcised. If the Jewish people want to get circumcised, that's fine, but that's only a culture. That is not the truth applicable to the New Testament. So after the truth being resolved, then they come to one mind, one accord. The second is the Holy Spirit. If we pray, 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 right? Until we are filled by the Holy Spirit will guide us into the same conclusion. Why? Because Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, will guide us according to God's will. So, Acts chapter 15, you can see when they have a meeting, start from difference and conclude in the same point. Why? Because they are only, everybody's waiting to yield to the guidance and movement of the Holy Spirit. So some of the church, they have a long, long kind of church council meeting, 2, 3, or 4 hours without conclusion. And some of the church council meeting, very short, within 1 hour, finish. How come so much different? Because prayer, 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 very important. So if the church council meeting, everybody kneel down and pray for 1 hour, the 4 hour meeting can be reduced into 2 hours because we pray for 1 hour. If we neglect that 1 hour prayer, 2 hour meeting can last for 4 hours. Why? Because there is no guidance of the Holy Spirit. No. So unity comes from the movement of the Holy Spirit. And the third one is the love of Jesus Christ. You know, we all have shortcomings. If we have love of Jesus Christ, we can forgive. We all are different. Character different, this and that different. But if we have love of Jesus Christ, we are able to accept the difference. If we can accept the difference, we also can forgive other people. Then we can be unified. If we cannot accept each other's difference, if we cannot forgive other people, then we cannot be in one body. So the book of Acts emphasizes one mind, one accord. It's so important. That is the work of Jesus Christ through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, through His love. Now, in the book of Acts, there are 4 breakthroughs, and all the 4 breakthroughs are not planned by human beings. We are not saying planning is not important, but even if we have no planning, if we really rely on God, you are going to see a lot of breakthrough. Planning is good, but planning itself, without the work of God, the planning is only a piece of paper. Now, the first breakthrough is chapter 2. At that time, the duties were so powerful, they were able to crucify Jesus Christ. And when Peter was filled by the Holy Spirit, he delivered one sermon. It's like a knife cut into 3,000 people's heart. And they changed. They accept Jesus. They accept Jesus, the one they crucified 40 days ago. And that is the beginning of Christianity. So, how can Christianity be born among so strong Judaism, that kind of culture, the power of the Holy Spirit? It's the first breakthrough. In the beginning of the Apostolic Church, all the Christians are Jews. Not until chapter 10, Cornelius, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and he was baptized, and that was the second breakthrough to go through the different racial group, the Cornelius. So today, what can we do? Holy Spirit guide us to different group, ethnic group. And the third breakthrough in chapter 15, we mentioned about the breakthrough of the understanding of the truth. And the fourth breakthrough is chapter 16. They preach the gospel from Asia to Europe. The first church of Europe has been established in Philippians. And how? If we read Acts chapter 16, you can see Paul changed his plan for three times. Every time he remembered and feel Holy Spirit, don't want me to go. Then he started to change his plan. And pray, and feel the Spirit of Jesus Christ don't want me to go. And finally, he had a dream, the calling from Macedonia. And then he went into Philippi and established a church. That is the fourth breakthrough. So if your church has a plan, that's good. But plan, only plan itself, is a piece of paper. We have to ask for guidance. If your church don't know how to plan, that doesn't mean your church cannot grow. If we all really pray, be filled by the Holy Spirit will guide us to have a breakthrough. So Holy Spirit is so powerful, and Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ in heaven, but He is still walking in our church because we have Holy Spirit. So this evening we continue to complete the Acts.